Good morning. Our scripture today is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, found on page 1140 in your pew Bible. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out, all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The word of our Lord. You may be seated.
This morning we want to come to pray. We want to pray for many things. First of all, I want to pray for Gideon's and their ministry. I want to also praise the Lord for his lordship and kingship. We want to pray for Bill Maruk. He had a heart attack on Thursday evening, I believe. I don't know. I got the news last night. So, and then he's having tests down in Bemidji. And then Mark Lean, who's a family member with Carol, Howie Haugie, Dick Frederick, and others, we want to pray for him. He had a stroke, and I guess it was fairly serious. This is the time of year we want to pray for college students as they have many tests. We want to pray for Ashley Koscheck and her new struggle that she will be facing with breast cancer. We want to pray for Jarrett also. So let's go into a time of prayer. Holy Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you that you are Lord of lords and King of kings. And our great hope, our great promise is in your leadership. Help us, Lord, to lean into and trust your leadership, Lord, in our lives and in our world. And Lord, I thank you for the ministry of Gideon's, Lord. What a blessing it is to be a part of the sharing of your word. And we would pray that you would use Gideon's in a mighty way to reach more people for Christ. And Lord, we do lift up Bill Maruk as he is having tests now done in regards to his heart. We would pray for recovery and healing from the heart attack. Be with Patty as she is concerned about her husband. And for Mark Lean, who suffered the stroke, we would pray for recovery and healing from that stroke, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we pray for Ashley and Jarrett as she now will enter into a time where she will be dealing with how to heal from breast cancer. And we would pray that that medical procedure would remove the cancer from her body. And Lord, we pray for college students that this is the midterm time where they will be taking many tests, help them to do their very, very best. And Lord, now as we look at what it means that you are the door, and what it means that we are to enter in by hearing your voice in our lives. Lord, I would pray for a person who's never entered in. I would pray for those of us who've known that for a long time, but maybe have not been listening to your voice, that we would be ready to re-enter into a relationship with you that is life-changing and abundant and powerful. And so, Lord, help us to understand your word and apply it to our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's kind of nice to have a door up here, isn't it? This door is to remind us that Jesus is knocking on our hearts, our lives. And I want you to know that my prayer for this whole week has been that we would all respond to his knocking. If you grew up when I did in the 70s and 80s, and that's when evangelism explosion was huge. Does anyone remember that evangelism explosion? It's still around, but it's not maybe as used. But there was one verse that stuck out to me, and it was Revelation 3:20. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. Now, if you know Revelation, that's one of the seven churches, Laodicea. Laodicea is the church that kind of lost its way. It became lukewarm. It was neither hot nor cold. And really, when Jesus came knocking on the door of the Laodiceans, it was an invitation to come back to him. Come back to Christ. And really, that's what my hope is that this morning's message is an invitation for all of us to come back to Christ. And see, Christ invites us to sit at the table with him. And when you sit at a table with a person, that's a personal, intimate thing, isn't it? You're looking face to face. You're having a conversation. And I want you to know, Jesus wants that relationship with you too. He wants a personal, intimate relationship. He wants to spend time with you and me. In the Gospel of John, John 10, Jesus declares himself as the door. In the passage right after it, he declares himself the good shepherd. So they kind of overlap, and you need to understand that. So next week I'm going to talk about Jesus being the good shepherd. And so there's a little bit of overlapping here, but when Jesus calls himself the door and the door for the sheep, I want you to know what sheep are like. Just so you know, sheep are not brilliant. They're not very smart. And sheep, they're not very strong, are they? In fact, sheep basically have no defense system. They need a shepherd. And so when Jesus is saying that he's the good shepherd, that he's the door, and he's calling us sheep, what he's really saying is we need a good shepherd. We need someone that can help us out. And I remember back in high school, I worked on a sheep farm. And there was a sheep there that apparently thought I was his shepherd. Because this sheep started to follow me everywhere. In fact, I gave him the name Gabriel, because that sounds like a good sheep name, doesn't it? And Gabriel would follow me everywhere. In fact, it got to be a problem because Gabriel would squeeze under the fence to follow me in the yard. And so we actually had to add another board under the fence so that Gabriel would stop following me around. Now, it's good if the sheep is following the good shepherd, but as we'll discover, sheep always aren't so brilliant again. They follow sometimes whatever comes their way. This theme that God is the shepherd and that we are sheep is woven throughout Scripture. It's a common theme. It was even read this morning from Psalm 95. Did you plan on that or just it was an accident? But it's everywhere that we are sheep, God is a shepherd. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And we go on to look at that. The problem is, as I said earlier, sheep are not very smart. In fact, another passage of Scripture, Isaiah 53, 6, says this about sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity, the sin of us all. Sheep, another problem with sheep is they're quick to get lost. In fact, sheep, you know, they always say the grass is greener on the other side. It seems like the grass is always greener for sheep. They're always wandering off in another direction, following the greener grass, which is wherever it is, and they're wandering away from the fold, from the place that is safe in their life. Sheep either go in one or two directions. They either follow the good shepherd or they get pulled away by the thief, as we see in this passage. In John 10, the thief and robber is the one who does not enter by the door. It's the one who sneaks in, comes through a different way into the fold, and then the purpose of the thief, the robber, is what? To steal, kill, and destroy. But on the other hand, The purpose of the Good Shepherd is what? To give life, and life that is abundant. And the means by which we are to receive that life is Jesus the door. We're to enter, or he enters through the door, knocking on it, and calls out our name. And we have a choice. Now I'm going to focus a little bit on that thief and the robber, the devil. He's sneaky. He twists. He doesn't play fair. He does whatever he can to get the sheep to follow him. In 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15, it says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds." In other words, the robber, the thief, is a false teacher twisting and mixing the truth up with subtle, small lies. And you've heard me say this before, the best lie is 99% true. The best lie is 99% true because it's a believable lie. If I was to teach you how to lie, I would say, come as close to the truth as possible, but just mix enough of a lie in it to trap the person. Now, I'm not teaching you how to lie, but that's how the devil works, doesn't he? In fact, I've said this before also, it's like rat poison or mouse poison or mice poison. 99.9% of mice poison is actually just bait. It's to convince the mouse, hey, this is good. I want it. And the mouse eats it. And it's the less than 0.1% that actually kills the mouse. Next time you pick up them, and this is the time of season you're buying all that mice poison, look at the ingredients. It says inactive ingredients. That's the stuff that doesn't kill. It says the exact number, 99.7%. But the active ingredient, that little bit that kills, just read the ingredients, you'll discover. See, that's what a good lie does. It's subtle, it's crafty, it's twisting the truth. And that's what the thief, the robber, wants to do with our lives. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, Paul talks about how we are to discern the truth. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ." Now, if we're going to be smart sheep, we need to have our minds set on the truth. The devil uses all kinds of things to keep us from the door, Jesus Christ. Some of them even sometimes appear to be good. For example, having a good time with friends. It's great to have a good time with friends. I think God wants us to have a good time with friends. But then what can happen subtly is what some of those friends end up maybe encouraging us to do. And before we know it, those encouraging things that they want us to do can turn into things that steal, kill, and destroy in our lives. Another example of this is maybe money. Now, money in and of itself is not bad, but the love of money can turn into greed, which can destroy our lives. I've seen actually families destroyed over the love of money. They're dealing with mom and dad's inheritance, and all of a sudden, brother is against brother. And they're arguing over, I should get more, I should have this. This belongs to me. And all of a sudden, the love of money is dividing a family and destroying. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil will promise a lot of things. I think part of his trick is to think that this world is all there is. Nothing else matters. What happens in the here and now is what counts. But nothing could be further from the truth. God has an eternal kingdom, the kingdom of God that he wants us to have. The Apostle Paul in 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." The devil's schemes is to destroy our lives. But enough about the devil. I want to talk about the door. I want to talk about the good news. I don't want to talk about the bad news. And the beautiful message is that God comes to us and he provides a way out. He comes knocking on that door and he says, "Come, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to give you life. I want to give you life that is abundant." And I think when he's talking about abundant life, he's not just talking about life at the end of our life here on earth. I think he's talking about life right now, the kind of life that Kelly Clark was looking for. Life that had meaning and purpose. Not just life that was all the temporary awards that you could receive here on earth, but life that had a depth to it, that brought a person to the point where it doesn't matter what I achieve or accomplish, but to know that I'm loved by God is more than enough. Now, I'm not saying that, and you need to understand, some people teach and some people preach that if you just believe in Jesus, all your problems go away. All your struggles are done and over. It's not true. People have all kinds of struggles in life. All of us, when you pray to have Jesus come into your life, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden you become patient. You might still struggle with impatience, right? And you can go across the board on all of the struggles that human beings have. Everything from anger to lust to... But Jesus wants to work with us to slowly transform us and give us that life that only he can give. The interesting thing about this passage is it talks about the sheep know the shepherd's voice. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. This has happened. Alan, does this ever happen to you? A blast from the past. Someone calls you from a previous church you've worked at, but they don't tell you their name. Has it ever happened to you?
If it works for you, it's true.
Well, I guess you have better friends than me. I have friends that will call me, and I had one person recently call me from 25 years ago. And I'm supposed to recognize their voice. They're playing a game with me. And they're like, "Do you know who this is?" And I'm like going through this mental file going, "Oh man, I'm supposed to know who this person is apparently." And I'm sitting there going, "Who could this be? And it's been 25 years and they expect me to remember their voice. And finally the light went on. I went, "I know who this is." And I felt like a victory. I felt like, man, I had really achieved something at that moment. And Glenn Rose was like, "Ah, you remembered me." She was so happy. Well, I was thinking about the voice of God. You know, sometimes we forget the voice of God, don't we? And God's trying to speak to us, and all of the voices of the world have distracted us. And God's saying, hey, George, come to me. Hey, Dave, hey, Sharon, come to me. I wanna sit down and eat with you. I wanna have an intimate personal relationship with you." God is calling us. And sometimes we don't recognize his voice. But sheep are meant to remember or hear the voice of God. And how do we do that? How do we hear the voice of God? It's by being close to the shepherd. The closer we are to the shepherd, the more time we spend with the shepherd, his voice becomes familiar. And that's why the Word of God is so important, because it is this voice of God that speaks into our lives. You know, the problem is not with the Good Shepherd. It's not with the door that is knocking in our lives. The problem is with us. We have either bought into listening to the thief that steals, kills, and destroys, or we are hearing the Word of God. And that's really what I want to invite you to. I don't have a long message this morning. I knew that Dave was going to share, and Dave did such a great job. And really, my message is his message. God is knocking. God wants to walk close to us. He wants to give us life. But the problem is that some of us maybe have never heard that message before. Some of us have heard that message 100 times. Some of us have at one time walked close to Christ, but this world has pulled us away. We've wandered off. The grass was greener on the other side, and we forgot the voice of God. This morning is about Jesus knocking on your heart, your mind, your life, and saying, come to me, come back to me. I want to give you life, and I want to give you life that's more abundant than the one you're experiencing now. And that's really what I want to offer you this morning. That's what Jesus wants to offer. I can't even offer it, but only Jesus can offer it. And you've heard me say this before, but isn't it time for you to come back to Jesus? To respond to his invitation? You've heard me say this before. It's simple. It's A. Admit that you're a sheep that's wandered away from the shepherd. B. Believe that Jesus Christ is the door back to the good shepherd. That you can come back to Jesus right now. You don't have to wait for some magical moment. He's knocking. He's saying, come to me right now. And C. Commit, come back to Jesus and say, I want to be that sheep that follows the good shepherd. I want to go through the door. I want to give up the distractions of the world. I want to give up the devil's offers, which ultimately steal, kill, and destroy. I want life in Jesus again. And so I'm going to say a prayer. I'm just going to say it. And you need to respond accordingly for your own life, whether it's for the first time or the 1,000th time. Jesus is knocking, and you can come back to him right now. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are knocking, knocking on our lives in a special way, saying, come back to me, or come to me for the first time. Lord, we admit that we have wandered, that we are sheep that have gone astray and followed our own way. We believe that you are the door and the good shepherd, and that you provide and give life. Lord, we want that life now. We want that personal, intimate relationship with you. And Lord, we thank you for first chances, second chances, and 100th chances. Thank you that you never give up on us. Give us abundant life in the here and now, in the promise and hope of eternal life that lasts forever. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. And I'll just say this, if that is something that you need help on, that's why we exist as a church. We want you to know this Jesus that loves you so much. And so if you have more questions about that, please take time to come to me and ask about that more.
I'd invite you to stand for our closing song. The The scripture that was read this morning talked about Jesus as both the door and the good shepherd. And so our final song is an old hymn, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. We'll sing three verses.
Good morning. If you want to sit down, because I know that Lori Hedlund is going to come and share a message or an announcement. I don't even know what the announcement is, so it better be good. Okay. But I do have a few other announcements. Fall Festival, next Monday, not this coming Monday, but the next one. And we're looking for people if they want to make donations of candy. There is a box back there, and you can give that to the young people. Community Cafe is this week. If you want to be a part of that and help out, it's 5 o'clock at Bacchus, but there is a clipboard that helps Ed know how many people are going to come there. Also, on November 7th, which is our a Monday night in which we normally pray, we want to encourage people to come and pray for our country, pray for the election. And so Roger and Betty are going to be heading that up, but you probably also saw this in the bulletin. People, we should be praying, don't you think? I don't think we have to say that. And Lori, you want to come and share this mysterious announcement?
I hope you like it.
I hope I like it too.
All right. Pastor appreciation.
Oh.
Join us next Sunday, October 30th, following second service for a turkey dinner. Turkey, mashed potatoes, and gravy, and stuffing will be provided. We are
it's
county-
not stuff the pastor, is it?
No, I don't think so. They didn't tell me it was.
Well, I'm probably going to stuff myself with all the turkey.
We are counting on you to bring other food items and dishes that traditionally go along with such a meal. We also encourage cards for our pastors filled with words of encouragement and affirmation.
Well, thank
That's
you.
It.
That's why it was a mysterious announcement. I had no idea. Honestly, I did not know what she was up to. Because she just asked on an email, I have an announcement. Can I do it on the end of the service? I don't know what it's going to be about. So, well, Jesus is knocking. He knocks every day. He wants to spend time with you and me. And really, it's such a privilege, isn't it? I mean, we have a God that loves us so intimately and so personally. I would just want to encourage you that that's what God is all about. A loving relationship that he wants to give each and every one of us that is so personal and intimate. Enjoy Jesus. Let him love you. Amen.